In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Balaam's donkey talks to him. And it's kind of funny because God, apparently, was thousands of years before Disney, right? He figured it out long before they did. I mean, have you thought ever about how many books, TV shows, and movies are based on animals talking? I have, because I have four kids, right? And sometimes I really have wondered this as we're reading books at night or whatever. Do we have any books where the animals don't talk? Because that's pretty much every book we read now is the animals are talking. So maybe you have your favorite talking animal. My brother-in-law coaxed us a while back into watching a bunch of reruns of Mr. Ed. Maybe you like Mr. Ed, the talking horse. He is pretty funny, I have to admit. I never really watched him. But. And then, of course, you know, there's all the kids' ones. You got Bambi, talking deer. You got Mickey Mouse. You got Babe. And the books, they actually go kind of, you got Aesop's Fables, talking animals. Winnie the Pooh. Now with our kids, it's Piggy and Elephant. So this is the newest talking animals. But what about specifically talking donkeys? I had to look this up. I knew there were a lot, but I didn't remember how many. There's a lot of talking donkeys. There's an Aesop fable, for instance, with a donkey that dresses up in a lion's skin and then goes around scaring everybody, right? But of course, the moral of the story is when he tries to roar to convince somebody he's a lion, it comes out just as a bray. So what's the moral? A fool or a donkey can fool you in appearance, but once they open their mouth, you know, right? So that's the moral of that one. But then there's Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, you know, the sad donkey who's always talking glumly. There's the talking donkey Benjamin, if any of you read the Animal Farm, Orwell's Animal Farm, talking donkey Benjamin. But my all-time favorite talking donkey, my family knows, because I love him just so much, is Donkey from the Shrek movies. If any of you have seen the Shrek movies, Eddie Murphy does the voice, and he is hilarious, hilarious. Now here's, of course, the thing. You don't even need me to tell you this. These are all made up. They're all made up, pure fiction. But there's one donkey, see, in the history of the world that has actually talked in human language, of course, I mean. Right? And it's Balaam's donkey. So what do you really think about that? I mean, what do you make of this miracle? Right? That a donkey talk. Can you believe that here this donkey says, of course, not in English, but in another language. In the Bible, it's, of course, in Hebrew. But the donkey says, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Why should you believe that, that actually happened? Well, of course, I think you should believe it. And we'll get to the why. Before we can get to the why, you see, we have to make sure we define what we mean by a miracle. And this is really crucial. If we're going to talk about miracles as Christians, you want to make sure you all know what miracles you're talking about. So there are a lot of definitions that have been given for miracles, but they all have one common theme, and it's really not that hard to grasp. Okay? The basic theme of a miracle is that it's when something is done that's outside the normal laws of nature. And that's why we call it supernatural, super above nature. So just like Superman, right, is above man. So supernatural is a miracle. It's above the normal laws of nature. We have a Lutheran apologist. John Warwick Montgomery is his name. And he calls it, his definition is, a unique event of cosmic significance. So it's unique, it doesn't happen all the time by the laws of nature, and it has this cosmic significance to it. Another Christian apologist, he calls a miracle a naturally impossible event. It's not possible by the normal laws of nature. But normally, if you just want a simple thing to remember, normally what people say a miracle is it breaks the laws of nature. And some people don't like that because they say, well, God can't break his own laws. He just does something different than his normal laws. And that's fine, but for us, you know, lay people, we can just say, okay, a miracle breaks the laws of nature or suspends them. So let's take our example of Balaam and his donkey now. The normal law of nature that all of us have observed all our lives that we've been around donkeys very much is they don't talk, Right? We don't observe donkeys talking. That is the normal law of nature. Donkeys don't talk in human language. However, this one time, God decided to do something different with his normal laws. And he made, in this case, he opened, it said, open the donkey's mouth, and she talked. It was supernatural. It was above nature, a unique event that had a cosmic significance. Now, here's the thing about miracles. They have to be rare. If miracles aren't rare, then, of course, they just become normal laws. So, the reason I'm saying this is you got to understand, when we talk about miracles, we're not some people talk about miracles like these everyday things that God does. And that's okay. If that's how you want to define a miracle, that, you know, something God did for you today that was really cool, well, that's fine. That's your definition of a miracle. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. Miracles are rare, very rare. They have to be by their very definition. So tonight, we're talking about rare, naturally impossible events that have this cosmic significance. So if you want a shorthand, we're talking about Bible miracles. Now, here's the thing that you want to understand about miracles. You will never be able to absolutely prove them or disprove them by experience. And this is where you and I all often fall into this trap. We think we're going to prove that miracles exist, but you can't prove by your five senses. Let's say that I see a miracle, and I say, I can prove it. I saw it with my own eyes. Well, you can always doubt your eyes. You can say, well, my eyes deceived me, or I was dreaming. So your five senses are never going to give you that certainty that you can say miracles really do happen. So see, this is the thing. If you can't first believe that there is someone above nature, then we'll never convince you of miracles, ever, 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 ever. So that's got to be the starting point. If somebody says, well, I don't believe there's anything above the laws of nature, they will never believe in miracles. So just, you want to understand that. But where most of us Christians fall in is not there. We say there's a God, but then we say, do I believe that this God really does miracles? That's where most of us are going to fall in, and where we're going to struggle with doubts. We believe in God, and yet we wonder something like this. Did God really talk through a donkey? I think that's where you and I are going to find ourselves. Many Christians doubt the miracles. I know you know this. It's not at all uncommon to hear Christians try to explain them away. So, for instance, a very common one, the feeding of the 5,000. I bet a lot of you have heard this. They say, well, Jesus didn't really feed 5,000 people with five bread and two fish. What happened was, the boy shared his fish and bread, and everybody else was so taken in by his sharing that they all brought out their food and started sharing it too, and it was a big potluck. Well, that sounds nice, right? But what are you doing? You're just killing the miracle. You're just explaining it away. And so let's say, theoretically, what if there were no miracles? Let's say we take the Bible and explain every one of them away. We come up with some kind of rational, logical explanation for every miracle. What if God didn't do any of them? What if there really was never a Red Sea crossing where the waters parted? What if there never was a talking donkey? What if the dead weren't raised? What if there wasn't any fire from heaven? Well, if you think that through logically, what would be the problem? The problem would be, how would you ever know there actually is a God? How would you ever know there's a God if he never does miracles? Wouldn't it be really odd to say, I believe in a God that never does anything that God would do? That is a weird belief. Right? If there were no miracles, how would we know to believe in him? That is kind of what makes God, God. He puts the laws there, the laws of nature, he creates them, and so he's the only one that when he chooses can suspend them or work outside of them when he deems it necessary. Now, he does it very, very rarely, but when he does, see, we know it's important. So why does God do these miracles? Well, C.S. Lewis is very helpful here, and if you ever want to borrow, I can gladly loan you his book on miracles. Very helpful. But he says that God does these little miracles here on earth. He calls them, quote, little miracles, like, for instance, crossing the Red Sea, raising the dead, right? He does these little miracles so that you and I will be directed to the big miracles that we don't usually notice. So let's take some of these. Let's take the big miracle of the Old Testament, the Exodus, when they cross the Red Sea, he parts the waters. Well, God does that, see, this little miracle, because it really is to him a little miracle, because he controls the winds and the waves all the time. But he does this little miracle so that we will see, oh, God is the one who's always controlling the wind and the waves. Right? On Monday, we had these strong winds blew over our nativity scene out here. But none of us said, oh, there's God. Right? We don't even notice it. We attribute that all to us, just nature. So God does this one big miracle so that when we see parting of the Red Sea, we say, oh, that's God. Or another one, water into wine. Jesus does a quick, quote, little miracle, right? He takes these gallons of water and turns them into wine. But God, of course, he does that all the time and we don't even notice it. God sends the water, the plants absorb the water, produce the fruit, the grapes, right? They ferment, and here is this wine. But none of us picks up a cup of wine and says, oh, there's God. But when Jesus turns all these gallons of water into wine, instantly we say, oh, there is God. Why make a donkey talk? Right? Well, it happens to remind us that God, you know, and the miracle of animals is happening all the time. Right? Just take anything. The simplest things, like the miracle that a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. We say, oh, isn't nature beautiful? Well, yeah, that's God's miracle. They happen all the time, but we don't notice them. But when a donkey talks, we say, oh, yeah, there's God. Now, to close out, I want to give you just a little more background of this talking donkey. Why did God have Balaam's donkey talk in the first place? Remember, it's a unique event that has some kind of big cosmic significance to it. Well, the significance is that Balaam was on his way to curse Israel. Balak, I know this is confusing because you got Balaam and Balak, but Balak, king of Moab, says, I want you to come and curse Israel for me so that they won't take over our land. Well, Balaam's on his way to curse Israel. Well, God doesn't want this to happen. And so he does something very spectacular. He has a donkey talk to Balaam and show him, right, that no matter what Balaam does, God is not going to change his plan. See, Balak, the king of Moab, kept saying, come curse him. And every time Balaam would go, he couldn't help it. He'd speak and he would bless them. And that's what's happening with the donkey, right? Doesn't matter how many times Balaam hits him, he's not going to change God's plan. And praise God, of course, what did he want to do that day? He wanted to protect and bless his nation Israel, because from Israel comes our Savior. And then we finally get to the heart of it, right? Miracles are always directing us to our salvation. If we deny miracles, let's say that you and I say, I believe in God, but I just can't believe he does miracles. Well, let's understand what's really at the heart of that. Why would we really deny miracles? The real issue is we want to deny God. If we deny his miracles, we basically say that I don't like God as he says he is in the Holy Scriptures, in his holy word. And so it's very, see, I don't know if I'm going to do a good job of explaining this. I fear I won't. But see, what happens is if we don't like what God says, if we don't like the demands he makes in the Bible or whatever, the easy road out is, it's very easy and convenient to say, well, I don't believe any of his miracles. I don't believe any of those actually happened. And that's much easier than denying God himself, right? If God is who he says he is in the Holy Scriptures, which of course he is, then the miracles aren't really a problem at all. It's our hearts that are the problem. And that's truly the best miracle, right? Next week, we'll talk about the miracle of sight. He gives sight to the blind, and the miracle of resurrection. And next Wednesday, we'll talk about the miracle of the virgin birth, which I know bothers a lot of people. But see, what is the heart of those miracles? Us. We are the heart of the miracles. That's why God does miracles, because he is trying to show you that he has sent his own son into the world to redeem you. That is the point of every single miracle he does. And so, you know, the miracle of us that he created us, that we were conceived in our mother's womb, is surpassed by an even greater miracle, that he sent his son Jesus into the world to be our Savior. Only a God who works miracles and wonders can work the miracle of our salvation, and he does. So finally then, this is my summary. If there is a God, which there most certainly is, because the evidence is all around us in his creation and in his word, if there is a God, then he must do miracles. He does them so that we would be directed to his greatest miracles of forgiveness and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.